But in these difficult times, of course, with regards to coronavirus and lockdown and, you know, trying to stay sane, everybody's probably well into the swing of it now, you know. Not that you'd ever get used to it, but it's a bit like Groundhog Day, isn't it? Every day being like the other, you even forget the date, and sometimes you forget what day it is. You think, I mean, at the weekend, I woke up on Saturday morning, I couldn't remember, is this actually Saturday? Or should I be going to work? Is it Monday? We're all like that, you know, because obviously our routines are completely up in the air. And I wanted to touch base again with Richard Hogan, the family psychotherapist and author. He deals pretty much almost exclusively with families and children and issues of his practice, and he joins me by phone. Dr. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
So here we are again. What are, is it like 3 weeks or maybe even longer? We were just heading into lockdown at that stage.
I was
talking about what inevitably might play out. So yeah, I said absolutely. It'd be worth giving you a shot again with regards to isolation. And indeed, could I start with the issue regarding exam pressure? Are you dealing much with that with people sitting Leaving Cert?
Oh, absolutely, Neil. Yeah, I work a lot with schools here in Dublin, and I really feel for this group of students because, you know, they came out, they were children of the recession, let's say, you know, the cataclysmic economic downturn. And then when we pulled ourselves out of that, they had all this, you know, doomsday stuff with the climate and Brexit, and now they've been launched into a pandemic. And in the final stretch of their Leaving Cert, it's been postponed. So there's huge stresses out there. And you can imagine yourself, you know, we've all been through the Leaving Cert. It's a very stressful couple of years. And right at the end, when they were hitting the home stretch for it, it's now postponed. They have to study at home and they have to manage themselves at home. And I'm finding a lot of students are struggling with the uncertainty of when is the result, when is the exam, because they're studying for something that they don't have a start date to yet, right? So that's really stressful.
So they're struggling, and then as a result of that, the whole household is struggling, particularly if you're in lockdown and can only go for a walk or to the shop and stuff.
Exactly. I think that's the issue that's facing a lot of families at the moment. 55,000 families, in fact, right across the country here. And there's a lot of pressure on parents as well at the moment, how to motivate their, you know, young adult in the house to keep them on the prize, to keep them focused. It really is causing huge stresses there in the family.
Yeah, I suppose terms that would spring to mind would be anxiety, stress, irritability. Yeah. Also, sleep patterns are up in a heap, I noticed, with an awful lot of people.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Neil. It's very well raised. I think, you know, our normative sleep patterns have been eroded because of this lockdown. Myself included, right? I mean, the first couple of weeks of this, as you said there in your introduction, like, you know, dates, times, weeks, weekend doesn't matter anymore, you know, what day it is, all that kind of stuff has seemed to kind of, the way we regulated our life and regimented our lives, it has kind of eroded. So sleeping patterns is a huge issue. And what I'm noticing with families is, the first thing I'd say to them is, especially with a teenager, take the devices out of the bedroom. Make sure that when they're going to bed, they're not going to bed with their device. They're not on the phone. They're not on their iPad, because that really disrupts sleep. It impacts a hormone called melatonin, and it erodes your sleeping pattern. And then you find the next day, you know, you mentioned their irritability. You wake up the next day, maybe 11 o'clock, and everyone's hasn't slept as much as they should have slept. The irritability levels, let's say, increases dramatically. And then you'll find everybody kind of at each other's throat. And because family life, you know yourself, Neil, I'm a parent of three kids, and you're a parent yourself. We're never at home as we are now. Generally, we have our relational experiences with our families is so much diluted by our going to the gym, going for a run, meeting your friends, going to the pub, going to work, the commute. All of that has now stopped. So our experience is so much more concentrated.
But for how long more will this be maintainable? I mean, there's southern states in America, and Trump's behind this saying, take back your own power. You know, like he is encouraging southern states, and three or four of them down in the south have started to ignore lockdown. They're going out in public, shops are reopening. They've just had enough of it. Is it inevitable that something like that could happen here?
No, I think that what that illuminates really is how dangerous it is when you don't have a shared, complicit response. We need a global response to this. I mean, we need to be as a species together. And when you have someone as dangerous and giving so many mixed messages as what Trump is giving, I think it's got the possibility to cause civil unrest in Ireland. Thankfully, I think we all pulled together and we flattened the curve, and we've all worked together because we know that together and staying home and protecting the people on the front line, that we can all work together and actually come out of this thing earlier. I think it's very dangerous what we're witnessing in America.
You believe that it will be possible to convince people if there's another renewal of this lockdown after May 4th? You think that people will continue? People are getting complacent as it is, you see.
Yeah, a little bit, Neil, that's true. I'd say probably around May 4th, May 5th, we'll see an easing of the lockdown, to be honest. That's my view on this. I think we'll be going back slightly to be able to go outside properly and be in small groups. We won't be able to be in big groups, obviously, you know, that kind of... I think it won't be as severe from May onwards. But how school is going to be conducted in September and how we're going to go back into, say, socialising needs to be recalibrated.
And would you be dealing at all, as a psychotherapist who deals with, a lot with families, with relationships issues, where yeah. relationships are at least being strained or falling apart?
Yeah, absolutely. And Baroness Shackleton there in the House of Lords last week said that she believes there's going to be, she's a divorce specialist in England, she believes there's going to be a huge rise in divorces. I remember we talked about this the last time. You predicted that to me. You said that, you know, this could cause a rise in divorces. And I said optimistically, well, maybe it might cause a baby boom as well. Let's see what happens. But
well, I was just suggesting that relationships that were already on shaky yeah. ground could be tipped
absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely. And you were absolutely perceptive. I mean, it's true that any relationship that had issues in it are going to be, those issues are going to be under a microscope, illuminated massively and heightened because of the close proximity that we're all living in now. And I think it's really important that this is a chance to kind of almost touch back in with ourselves as a couple. You know, when relationships come into me in trouble in the clinical sense, sorry.
Not losing you there, Richard. Just move around a little bit if you can.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better again. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. When relationships are in trouble, both members of the couple generally come into therapy with a big bag of adjectives describing each other, saying, you know, he's lazy, she doesn't do this, I can't trust him, she nags me. And so in this kind of a climate, those kind of narratives become really heightened.
And how do you talk them through that? I mentioned that because Boyzone star Shane Lynch has moved out of the family home. He's admitted yeah. that he and his wife are at each other's throat due to lockdown. He's moved out.
Yeah, and what I say, the first thing I say to couples, and I've been dealing with this a lot now in the last few weeks, Neil, is I say the first thing about a healthy family and a healthy relationship is that it allows you to be a part of and separate from. Now, that second part is really important, the separate from. You have to find time in the day to get away from each other. I know that sounds, kind of like deflecting the issue, but you do need space. You do need to get out. You need to go for a walk, go for a run. You can't be in with each other all the time. You do need that space to have moments to process what's going on. And it's really important. This is what I say to relationships, to couples and relationships. Find a space over the course of the day to be on your own, to go for a run or to go for a walk or to go up to your bedroom and do reading, wherever it is you find, you know, that you find relaxing. And second of all, make a plan. This is where huge problems are coming through. I think maybe without being gender biased, but I know I might struggle with this one, knowing what my job is in the house and what to do as a male in the house, you know, what are my chores, let's say. Mm. Sit down with your other member of the couple and draw up a plan. And, you know, a lot of conflict arises from when a man feels nagged and a woman feels that she has been left to do all the work.
Yes, yes, right? Yes.
A lot of conflict comes out of that. And I would say, drop a little plan and decide, you know, what are you going to do and what do you need me to do over the course of this, you know, when we're locked down, what would you like me to do during the week? And what causes huge tension is when a man says, you know, you're not my mother. That's what I've heard that now the last week a lot in conversations where the male partner felt that his wife was nagging him like his mother, right? And I said, and I was saying that Freud is wrong. No man wants to marry his mother, and no woman wants to become their husband's mother, right? It creates huge tension. So by having a little plan about what chores each of you could do, I think that can really ease tensions in the house.
Saying something like that is poking the bear to a man, is it?
It is. It really is. Yeah, exactly. You're not my mother. Nothing gets a therapeutic session going better than that, right? And yeah, it just causes huge tension. You're not my mother, you know. Stop nagging me. That's going to cause huge tension. And it's generally about, like, you know, tidying up the dishes. You know, you didn't do the bed. You didn't bring the bins. I mean, really small stuff that are really heightened now, as you said about the guy from Boyzone, whatever it is, you know, at each other's throats. That's what's going to happen if you don't have a plan. If you don't get space to yourself, if you don't have time to go out and kind of just reconnect with yourself and get away from it all, because families, Neil, as you know yourselves, they're hard work at the best of times. Being a functioning member in a dynamic like that, is it's tough work. And if you haven't got a plan during a lockdown or confinement, you're going to find yourself getting into all sorts of negative interactions.
But I also feel for parents who have young children, say from 3 or 4 up, who would be balls of energy and need constant entertainment or activity, and like it must be very, very hard just to keep them active or keep them entertained.
You're speaking to one right now. I've got a 3-year-old downstairs currently, right? And we were up at 3 o'clock in the morning and up at 6:30. It is tough. There's absolutely no doubt.
So you can understand why sometimes you say, oh, use the TV, use Netflix, use a tablet, use a laptop, use a phone.
Well, I think, what we try to do is we go for a walk and try to tire her out. Around 6 o'clock, we try to get out and get her out running around the green and all that kind of stuff, trying to just, as you said, balls of energy, trying to deplete that energy.
Maybe that works, but then a grumpy 12-year-old or a 14-year-old mightn't be inclined to want to do that, you see.
Yeah, no, that's it.
And then your parents probably reaching more for medication. Now, that medication could be in tablet form or could be maybe drinking more than normal at this time.
Well, I said that to you at the start there 2 weeks ago, that I noticed there's a huge increase in alcohol intake, and that's going to cause real problems in the family system, I think, because, you know, you're waking up and you're agitated or, you know, slightly hungover from the night before. That's going to cause huge problems in the family, I think, and I think it's really important that we stay healthy and we stay in our routine. And you mentioned teenagers there. Now that the junior cert is cancelled, I've noticed a lot of parents ringing me because they're kind of saying to me, what do I do now that my 15-year, 16-year-old no longer has an exam to do? How do I keep them going? And it's really important that they do keep them going, because let's just say they go into Fortune next year and they haven't done a state exam and they stop working at this point and they mightn't do too much work in Fortune. It'll be a year and a half before they actually do a writing assignment. They're going to be way behind any student who kept going. So it's really important that, your junior or student keeps in contact with school and is working away. Obviously, not like they would have been for the junior cert. I mean, it must reflect the fact that junior cert has been cancelled, but they need to really work still.
Yeah, I mean, it's important for a junior cert student. Don't get me wrong in that regard, because it's the biggest exam of their life heretofore, but it's not the leaving certificate and it's not maybe thinking about a career path or thinking about going to college. And you can't really, as a parent, say, don't worry about the junior cert, can you? It's not that important. That's not advisable, I suppose.
No, it's not. And what you raised there is what I'm trying to say there is that the junior cert, we all know the junior cert doesn't mean much, right? It's just like a kind of like a warm up. It's like putting your foot in the water for the big thing, right? But it will determine the level of classes that you go into in fifth year. It will determine, you know, the level that you do your subjects at. And if you don't, say, if you stop studying now because it's been cancelled and it's been a year and a half before you study next, say, in fifth year, if you go into fourth year, let's say, or if you skip forward straight into fifth year, you'll be at a negative because you won't have kept up with the, you know, being good at subjects, Neil. This is what I always say to students. It's like exercise, you know. If you stop practicing, you know, you lose the skill. So you need to keep going with it. It's like running. If you stop running, you know, when you start to run again, you know, you find yourself taking weeks to get back into it. And that's what I find with students in fifth year. They take a long time to get back into it because they haven't done it since third year and they've gone into fourth year. So I think it's really crucial that parents of juniors or students keep them motivated and keep them focused. Obviously, as you said yourself, not like they're doing the exam, but, you know, an hour or two a day, that won't kill them.
Because they likely won't be back till September.
Yeah, no, they won't, no.
Okay, all right. So, fair play. We've covered a lot of ground. So one of the most important things you're suggesting is space, personal time. And that's physical and headspace, yeah?
Yeah, that's really important. Headspace is really important. You know, when you're a parent of kids, and as you said there, you know, anyone from toddlers up, you can find at times that you can feel like there's no headspace because you're there with them all day long. And now that we're in confinement, you really need to get out. You need to talk to your partner and say, I'm going to go for a run. Get out for an hour. I mean, I'm not saying just 10 minutes. Get out for a while, get away from it for a while, and then come back into the system again.
Saw a suggestion online there recently that said, ask your partner to fix things that you need fixing around the house. Cut the lawn, declutter the house, bring the good energy back into your home, do any DIY jobs. I wonder if she'd do all that if I asked her, Richard.
I don't know, Neil.
Fix that around the house, cut the lawn, declutter the house, do any outstanding DIY work.
Well, if he's... I don't know how that would work. Give it a go, maybe. Let us know how it worked out for you. I know what would happen for me.
I'll let you know how I get on, all right? Yeah. Stay in touch. I'll let you go back to the three-year-old. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Neil. Nice to talk to you.
Family psychotherapist and author Richard Hogan, and a Cork man to boot.